This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
And I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Had a great first hour with the guys from Franktown Firearms. I appreciate them joining us today as well. And again, don't forget you can find them on our website, klzradio.com. Dean Reuter joining us now. The 75th anniversary of Nuremberg trials are upon us. He is the author of a book, The Hidden Nazi, The Untold Story of America's Deal with the Devil. Dean, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks for having me on, John. I really appreciate that.
Oh, I appreciate it. I've been talking about you coming on now for about a week since we got you booked, and you've got a great book. It's a great story, one that we need to be reminded of. And in fact, I learned some things even in just, you know, getting you dialed in to come on air that I did not know prior, so I can only imagine everything that's inside the book.
Yeah, the book called The Hidden Nazi, it just came out in paperback. It's been out in hardback, but it's sold well enough that it's come out in paperback. It's on Audible. It's on Kindle. You can get it everywhere online, but also in bookstores. And I got to say, I mean, I'm the principal author of the book, but it's amazed me some of the things that come out in this book, because the research that my fellow researchers did and some of the claims they made to me when they recruited me to the project, I thought they were way off base. I thought they couldn't be looking at the documents right, or they were just too eager to find something significant, but they really proved it. I mean, it's an amazing tale. I really wouldn't believe it myself if I hadn't been involved in it, honestly, John.
All right, so let's talk about The Hidden Nazi. It's a story of SS Nazi General Hans Kammler. I think I'm saying that correctly. Let's talk about that for a moment. What you know? Again, I learned things about him I did not know prior. Share some of that with us.
We call him the baddest Nazi, the worst Nazi you've never heard of, because nobody has heard of him. But he was an architect and an engineer by training. In the final year of the war, he was the only person elevated to the rank of Obergruppenführer, which is the highest rank you can attain within the SS, which is the dark inner circle of a Nazi hierarchy. So as an architect and an engineer, the first really notable thing he did was to pick Auschwitz as the site for the concentration camp and the killing camp, the slave labor camp. And then, John, we've got his name on documents showing he designed the barracks. He designed the concentration camp to begin with, the meets and bounds of it, laid it out, then the barracks, then the gas chambers, then the ovens. And then he duplicated this work all across the Third Reich. You know, there were about 1,000 concentration camps, and they were principally his work. So we make the claim, which is, I think, easy to support, that the Holocaust really wouldn't have happened. It certainly wouldn't have happened in the same way without him. He was a master at standardization, and he designed these places in a way that they were as efficient as possible at killing and then incinerating bodies. It was horrid, but amazing.
Amazingly horrid, I guess, is what I should say, Dean. Right. You know, for me to even think of another human being thinking in this way, to where you would design systematically camps to, you know, put people into and watch them die, in some cases a slow death, and or put them in a gas chamber and then eventually, you know, into the crematorium, if you would. My own mind, I cannot wrap myself around anything along those lines whatsoever.
You're exactly right. It's like studying infinity or something like that, and trying to wrap your mind around that. It's mind-boggling. But this guy was a true master of horror. And we found in our research he was a father. He had children, two of whom died early. One of them died as an infant because a nurse left a bottle of chloroform open near the baby. And so he had his own child gassed accidentally. And yet we didn't see anything redeeming about his character. Nothing showed that he had an ounce of remorse or a second thought. He was the leader in this program, not the follower.
Unbelievable. Again, he is, to your point, what made the Holocaust what it ended up being. And I agree with you. Without somebody like him, and who knows if somebody else would have come in and filled his shoes, although you have to wonder, there, in my opinion, there's not too many individuals out there that think in this way. To me, Dean, you got to have not necessarily a screw loose, but you just have to think in a warped way that the average human being does not think.
Yeah, it's a form of insanity, and then layered on top of that, this brutal efficiency that he had. And he was so successful at what he did that by the end of the war, he was promoted and promoted again, and then in charge of all of Germany's secret weapons.
Wow.
Including the German rockets. I don't know if you've ever heard of the V-1 and the V-2 rockets.
But yes.
They were vastly superior to anything anybody else had. And as the war was winding down, he's in charge of the rocket team. There was going to be this mad scramble among the victors for who was going to get the spoils of war, who was going to get that rocket team headed by Wernher von Braun. And we, fortunately, the Americans got the rocket team. And everybody thinks that was by chance, that we just sort of stumbled upon them. But what we show in the book, in The Hidden Nazi, is there's a secret deal that was made between Kammler, this evil Nazi, and the Americans. And it was a deal made to deliver the rocket team to us so we could get a head start on the Cold War against the Soviets. And that's how he erased his Nazi past.
Amazing.
He faked his suicide at the end of the war. The German courts adjudicated him dead at the end of the war, but we prove in The Hidden Nazi he didn't die at the end of the war. He didn't commit suicide.
So I assume at this point he probably is dead and gone, or is he still alive?
Yes. No, you can rest easy. He'd be 120 now.
Okay.
So he is dead and gone, but he lived long after his suicide in...
That was my next question. You know, how long did he actually live in, I guess you could say, secrecy? You know, nobody really, I guess, knowing who he was at that point, on behalf of us as a country, by the way.
Right. Yeah, we know that he was in U.S. custody for 11 months after his reported suicide. So we had him for 11 months. The last piece of paper we can find on him is an extradition request. The British government, because he had used these V-2 rockets to bomb London, the British government asks us for Kammler. They want to extradite him and try him. And there's a note in the file saying no objection. And then the paper trail just disappears. It's as if he never existed after that.
Mm.
And that's where the paper trail runs dry. But we do have a few other cases that we know about that were well documented. And we spend the last, 40 pages of the book speculating about what happened to him after he left.
So what are those speculations? I don't want to give the ending of the book away, but where did he pass on? How, did he live in the U.S.? Did he live around the world someplace else? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, we demonstrate that lots of Nazis with really horrid pasts came to the United States under the protection of the U.S. government. So that's a possibility. It's possible he stayed on the continent in Europe. We employed lots of Nazis in Europe as intelligence assets after the war for years, John. One of them even became head of the West German intelligence, Reinhard Gehlen. He was our employee. He was a wicked Nazi. And many of them went to South America, again, with our help through something called the Rat Line. This was this organized escape route for Nazis that we utilized to get our intelligence assets and the deal makers out of the country. And that's what we think happened to him based on other accounts. We think he went to South America with our help.
Okay, and I know this maybe is a dumb question. Was it worth it?
Well, so that's not a dumb question at all, John. That is one of the key questions posed in the book. And I would say that it's a difficult question to second-guess the people on the ground that are trying to make this decision, that realize that the Soviet Union is going to be an existential threat. So you have a choice between getting the rocket team and literally getting a 10-year jump start on rockets, the way to, you know, project power onto an enemy with a nuclear weapon. And that's what we got, at a cost of releasing a guy who would, was responsible for killing literally millions of people.
Millions.
He had
yeah.
a hand in it. He, yeah. he wasn't the only person involved.
But he was the mastermind behind it. Let's say that.
Yeah, exactly. He was. If Himmler was the architect, he was the engineer
right.
of the Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah. He became the engine to get it all done. Let's say it that way.
That's right. That's good phrasing. And I mentioned in the book that I don't think I can second guess the people who made the decision to use him. And it's possible, John. I mean, it is possible there's a fourth scenario that we used him. We did the deal with him. We kept him in custody for the 11 months we know about. And then he just quietly died, maybe under suspicious circumstances. Maybe he was executed in the field. You mentioned Nuremberg. You know, the Nuremberg trials were the first major trials after the war of major Nazis. And it wasn't always certain there were going to be trials. The big three allies, Roosevelt and Stalin and Churchill, talked about summarily executing Nazis, as many as 50,000. Mm. So that could have happened to Kammler.
So, again, we don't know. We just know that he's no longer around. We got what we, I guess, wanted and needed as a country to stay ahead of the Soviets, and that's history. That's what the book's all about.
Yeah, and it's my hope somebody's going to read this and people start talking about it, and the name will click with somebody who will say, my grandfather mentioned him, and they've got a box of documents in their attic. Because
awesome.
The documents we found, John, were everywhere. I mean, they're all over Europe. We've been all over Europe, all over the United States, small libraries, major archives, military bases. There's records everywhere, and they're not in very good shape. So somebody's got more information on him.
All right.
They just need to read the book and learn about it.
There you go, folks. There's your challenge. Dean Reuter, again, it's the 75th anniversary of the Nuremberg trials. The book is The Hidden Nazi, The Untold Story of America's Deal with the Devil. Dean, I was looking forward to this. You did not disappoint. I'm glad you joined us. And folks listening, please go get the book. It'll be a great read.
Great to be with you, John. Thanks again.
Dean, thanks so much. I appreciate it very much. And there's times I wonder, are we making a deal with the devil as we speak? All right, we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Roof Max is up next. And Dave Hart, who would love to help you with whatever your roof needs are. He was on my dad's roof, I believe, earlier today, and getting him all fixed up and taken care of. And he could do the same thing for you. Roof Max, 303-710-6916. Or find Dave on the website, rushtoreason.com.
Roof Max is the fountain of youth for your roof. 90% of roofs replaced nationwide no longer need to be replaced, which would drastically reduce the materials in the landfills and resources from our planet to manufacture new shingles. By keeping your shingles in like-new condition, RoofMax is seeing on a national level a huge increase in protection against hail and wind damage. Most shingles these days are only getting 6 to 8 years of life before they start to dry out, lose the protective granules, and experience thermal cracking. With the RoofMax treatment, you can get a lot more life out of your roof. In most cases, RoofMax will add 15 years or more, saving you thousands of dollars and drastically reducing the number of insurance claims, which helps everyone keep insurance premium costs down. Call today at 303-710-6916 to schedule your free roof assessment. And be sure to mention you heard about them on KLZ to receive $100 off your RoofMax treatment.
All righty. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, he's going to join me tomorrow, by the way, and we're going to talk about mistakes a lot of home buyers make. In the meantime, anything you need from Kurt, give him a call, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Trying times, folks, that we live in, and there's times where you don't know where to turn, who to trust, who to listen to. So much, I feel, bad and on purpose misinformation coming our way. And this has to do with everything from, you know, the virus itself to what's going on economically to the vaccines. I've got a story, testimonial, I should say, that producer Ann found and gave me. I will play this. This is an NCAA student golfer, Division I, by the way, that now has a heart disease after his COVID vaccine. He was also offered a bribe to not share his story. So I will play this. You all can listen in and see what you think, and we'll talk about it as soon as we come back from this, but here we go. And his name, by the way, is John Stokes, and he will actually be missing his senior year of competing as well.
I am in the hospital right now with heart complications from the COVID-19 vaccine, and I want to inform as many people as I can about the risks from taking the vaccine that I wish someone would have told me. So I am a Division I student athlete with no prior health issues, and I got the second COVID shot Tuesday, and within 4 days, I have been diagnosed with myocarditis and was told that I probably won't be able to play my senior season now. It is a side effect from the COVID vaccine, and it's really not being reported or addressed, and it is a serious issue that we should all be informed about before making this decision. It isn't right for people to be forced to take the vaccine because there are actual side effects like this that could happen to you. And the NCAA should not mandate student athletes to get the vaccine because of what could happen to so many fellow student athletes' health issues, which has happened to me. Everyone should be informed of the side effects, and no one should be forced to take something that could cause what has happened to me. And no one knows the long-term effects of what's possibly going to happen from this. And it's kind of uncharted territories because everyone else with the same heart issues from the vaccine as me, we're all being tracked and monitored. We're basically like test subjects from the vaccine. So it's a very serious issue that really needs to be spread. And I've spoken with some other student athletes that have also had to have either heart surgery or have had heart issues from this. And it's very scary stuff. And a lot of people in our age group apparently are at higher risk for heart issues from the vaccine. And it really does need to be talked about.
Stokes, he's a senior on the Tennessee State golf team, and he says he got a sports physical a few weeks before getting the shot that revealed no underlying conditions. Well, after getting the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, doctors diagnosed him with myocarditis. Stokes says doctors have advised he likely won't be able to golf his senior season because getting his heart rate over a slow walk could make the inflammation worse.
If you are one of the quote unquote few people, if it completely changed your life, you would have a totally different stance. And that's why really it should be a choice, because with the risk of having an adverse reaction, it should definitely be a personal choice if you want to take that risk.
Stokes says he thinks that this should be left up to everyone to make a personal choice. Reporting at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, Elizabeth Lane, News 2.
I need your help. Everyone who has had an adverse reaction from the COVID vaccine, we need to go report it. Right now, the reports are not accurate because everyone who has had a reaction has not reported it. I need everyone, especially young people and student athletes, to go and make sure you report it. If you were hospitalized from the vaccine, make sure you leave with the paperwork and documentation saying it was from the vaccine. Some people have tried to buy my rights of my content and story to keep me from being able to share it anymore. It's not right what's going on. We have got to get the message out.
Okay, there you are, folks. You heard it from his own two lips. People have tried to buy the rights to his story so he would not then share said story. Folks, there's a lot of wrong going on with what we're going through right now. And again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. A lot of you out there listening have had the vaccine. Fine. I'm okay with that. It's your personal choice. What I'm against, A, number one, somebody like him that's a healthy student that just had a physical prior doesn't need one. And I'll say that all day long. Yet they're being forced to take them, which I am 1,000% against. I'm 1,000% against anybody being forced to have a vaccine of any kind in this particular case especially. And you guys all know the reasons why. We'll talk to Dr. Kelly and Steve House again tomorrow about that. They're going to join us again and talk about a recent report that just came out talking about a lot of the adversities with the vaccine that, frankly, nobody's talking about. This is the death report on vaccines that we just received a couple of days ago. Again, you're not going to hear anybody in the major press. And frankly, a lot of talk show hosts like myself will not go there. They're not going to talk about it. A, because they either can't or just won't. One of the two. And what's interesting is there's another article out there that Ann found as well on MSNBC, whereby if you look at, and this, by the way, this is true with a lot of stories out there when a news organization, locally or nationally, put out a article on vaccinations, if you start reading the comments that will then come through in response to that, it's like, is nobody out there in the media reading these comments? Because a lot of them will actually talk about how they were ill or somebody they knew got ill or people that are getting vaccinated are still getting COVID, and on we go. I had a long conversation with Bill from Arc Electric, who's one of my sponsors on the weekend program on Fix It Radio. Bill and I were talking about different things and stuff going on in his business and so on. And by the way, Bill's a guy looking for help like a lot of other businesses out there. So if you're somebody looking for work, please let me know and I'll direct you into the right area that way. But Bill and I were talking about how he got a call because he had COVID recently, and he got a call from one of the local health departments. And the person at the local health department told him specifically that his antibodies would end in 90 days after having COVID. And by the way, Bill had a pretty good case of COVID. He recovered okay. And he doesn't mind me sharing this because this is something people need to know, which, by the way, means we've already seen studies on this. The harder you have COVID, the better your antibodies even are. We've seen that. We know that for a fact. Yet the health department is telling him that after 90 days or even now, he needs to get a vaccine, which, by the way, this particular person told him those antibodies only last about 6 months, and he will then need boosters from this point forward, at least yearly, if not every 6 months. Now, we know, and I can talk to Dr. Kelly and Steve House about this tomorrow, but we know that there are people out there that continue to get tested for antibodies that have had antibodies a year or more after having COVID. So this person at the health department is flat out lying, by the way. This person is either purposely giving out false information and lying or doesn't know any better. And if it's the latter, we got big problems in health departments. We've got problems either way because either they're lying or dumb. Neither one is good. I might give them a pass on being dumb, although in that position they shouldn't be. I'm not going to give them a pass for lying. I think they're lying. Why do I think they're lying? Because there's plenty of evidence out there. And I've talked about this on my show so many times that when it comes to the natural antibodies your body builds after having COVID, we don't know how long they last. For anybody out there in the Fauci world to come along and say they only last 90 days is a flat-out lie, which tells you the government's lying to you, which tells you if they're lying to you about that, what else are they lying to you about? Everything? Everything COVID related? I'm getting to the point with the government where I can't believe anything they're telling us when it comes to COVID. I mean that sincerely, folks. I shared the story as we came on air today with the guys from Franktown about what's going on in Jeffco with Faith Christian Academy and other schools in that area, other private schools. And that it's a fact that the head of the Jeffco Health Department, who, by the way, has never worked a day in her life, a real job, I should say, a private sector job. She's always been in government, which means she's never worked a real job, in my opinion. She's bound and determined to make sure some of these schools pay, quote unquote, for their actions. Those actions being they're private and they're doing what they feel they need to do to keep their kids safe and not doing whatever they are being told by Jeffco Health Department. Fine by me, by the way. It's a private organization. Do what you want. It's the way it ought to be. Dr. Dawn Comstock doesn't feel that way. She's bound and determined to make sure these places get shut down. And I'm bound and determined to make sure Dr. Dawn doesn't have a job any longer. Or anybody else in the Jeffco Public Health Department as well. And I mean that sincerely. So I know I got to take a break. We got a guest coming on here in just a few minutes as well. Bruce Simmons is up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist and from American Liberty Mortgage. He's a professor of reverse mortgages. If you're sitting on a pile of equity and you want to use it, give Bruce a call. Find him at klzradio.com.
Bruce Simmons tells you from the beginning, your loan balance will likely grow over time. The first certified reverse mortgage professional in Colorado to specialize exclusively in reverse mortgage loans. Bruce prides himself on thoroughly explaining how the loan works before asking you to make any decisions. As a result, Bruce has a satisfaction rating of 100%. In 18 years, Bruce has never once heard from a client who regretted doing the loan because he lays out the pros and cons in advance. Your reverse mortgage gives you the benefit of owning your home free and clear, but it's still a loan, which means your loan balance will likely grow over time. Get a no-regrets reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons by understanding how the loan works ahead of time. KLZradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage, Inc. is an equal housing opportunity lender.
Folks, just like I talked during the first hour about being prepared for all things that would come down the pike, a lot of you are preparing for retirement, which, you know, for most people probably will happen unless some of the things we talked about in the first hour do. But again, you need to be prepared either way. That's where Al Smith comes into play. He will help you get ready for whatever life brings you in regards to retirement. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Your CPA handles your tax preparation every spring, but you also need a financial advisor who includes tax planning in your strategies for retirement. Your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial will provide a clearer view of what your retirement will look like tax-wise. Tax planning matters most in your 50s and 60s when you still have time to accumulate wealth tax-free. Even after you've begun taking Social Security, however, Al Smith can still help you transition a portion of your nest egg into alternative, non-taxable accounts to create guaranteed income in retirement. You've already been setting money aside. Now, choose a financial advisor who specializes in preserving that money so your savings will last. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
In my mind, I've never crossed the line with anyone.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Beatty with Crawford Media in Denver. Did you know that statistics show that without an accountability partner, you're at risk of being targeted by the dark web? No matter who you are in leadership, you need an accountability partner. I've been ever accountable for a year. Try it for free for 30 days. And if you don't think it makes a difference in who you are and what you do, just opt out. Go to everaccountable.com/KLZ.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Craig, if you're still out there, our next guest is not able to join us at the moment. So if you want to call in and continue to talk about what's going on in Jeffco, feel free to do so. and or anybody else that wants to do that, 303-477-5600. And as I said a few minutes ago, what's going on in Jeffco, which, by the way, is going on in a lot of areas around town. It's not just Jeffco that this is happening. I just mentioned earlier what's going on in even Elbert County, where it's really, in that case, a pretty conservative county, but we've got a health department there who essentially is either lying, like I said, or doesn't understand the facts. I always want to try to be gracious and hope people, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. But if you're in charge of or working for a health department in any kind of an authoritarian, you know, authoritative, you know, position, and you're telling somebody point blank that the antibodies from COVID, from having it, your natural antibodies, only last 90 days and not a day longer, you're lying. Period. And how do I know that? Because we've got individuals that I know personally that have been tested long after the 90 days that still had antibodies, natural antibodies. So this business of, you know, people in those positions claiming that there's a, you know, 90-day window is all, they're just flat-out lying. It's just ridiculous, folks. And where a lot of this is coming from, by the way, is, you know, they'll cite Dr. Fauci as the source. Like Dr. Fauci's God. Another guy that hasn't seen a patient in eons. It bugs me when we're listening to individuals run our lives that haven't had a patient walk into their office and have not done any real work in the real world, yet they're going to dictate to the rest of us how we're supposed to live our lives. What's wrong with that picture, folks? Craig, you're next. What's going on, sir?
Hey, John. I was able to establish contact with Augustine Academy.
Okay.
Augustine Classical Academy. And I spoke to Nate. He emailed me with some information on how to donate toward their legal defense
Great.
Funds. It's all small caps. It's augustineclassical.org/donate.
Great.
And he reminded me that they are a nonprofit. Therefore, any donations that you make to their legal defense fund are tax deductible.
Perfect. That's great. That is awesome.
And he was able to share with me, they were just in preliminary hearings yesterday, and evidently they have this woman that you were talking about that's running the Jefferson County
Yep.
Health Department. They were questioning, lawyers were questioning, you know, her the legality of her, basically, you know, what she's trying to do to these schools. So it's already begun, but he was more than happy to share that information with your listeners. And
this gal in Jeffco, by the way, Craig, which again, for all of you that maybe are just listening this hour, didn't hear me during the first hour, Dr. Don Comstock, who is the director of Jeffco Public Health, has only been there since February of this year, 2021. So February 2021. I have direct knowledge, by the way, that she is very proud of her actions and what she's doing, and she is bound and determined to make sure that she goes in and, quote-unquote, sets the record straight with any school or private organization that is anti-gay marriage. That's where all this is coming from, by the way, Craig.
Well, that's why the religious schools, you know, which I'm assuming frown upon that, are being targeted.
Of course.
So it all makes sense.
Yeah, it does make perfect sense. And this is, again, an individual that needs, I call it, depowered. She needs to go away. She does not need to be in charge of this. This is another individual, by the way, Craig, who is running a health department that's never, from what I can gather and all the research I did, has never seen a patient as a doctor. She's got a doctor in front of her name because of the academia side of it and what she's done study-wise and epidemiology and blah, 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 blah. She's never seen a patient. Yet she's running Jeffco's health department. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, again, she's basically making law. These are, just like Joe Biden is doing, these are mandates. They're not laws.
That's right.
And, you know, as to the Constitution, I mean, with a good, you know, judge, I don't see why this would last 5 minutes.
Craig, I don't either. She cannot make law. She does not have that power. She cannot run around any longer and say, well, it's for the good of public health. No, it's not. This is Nazism, period. Period. Nothing more. This is all about control and power and has nothing to do with public health. Zilch.
Well, I'm just hoping that we get a judge that isn't left-leaning. But, you know, these days, who knows?
Right.
You don't know who, you know, they judges are elected officials, obviously, and it's really hard to research, and not very many people take the time to research who funded their elections. But you can bet if people like George Soros are involved, or any left-leaning billionaire or millionaire, that they're going to side with people like her. But, you know, all we can hope is that...
All we can hope, just to fill in the blank, all we can hope for is that we, the public, starts battling against some of these things. I sent a long email to the health department because I wanted a record of what I sent. And I basically, in a synopsis, said this, Craig. I don't want my tax dollars, which, by the way, is what funds your health department. I don't want my tax dollars being spent going after private institutions like Faith and Augustine and Beth Eden. I don't want my money being spent there. And if this continues, I will make it my personal agenda to take down Dr. Dawn Comstock and everybody that's in her department. I will make it my mission to make sure they no longer have a job. And I said that, and I mean that.
Well, I think, you know, the previous director, the one that targeted
Vandermeer's
last, he resigned. And I think it got, you know, got too hot for him.
Good.
The pressure, you know, and it's probably partly the reason that he quit and then she took his place. But I don't know who picks this position.
I don't either. I that's one thing I wish somebody in Jeffco would let me know. I'm going to do some research to try to determine how is that done. But I, folks, if these things don't go away, I mean what I just said. I will make it my personal agenda to make sure she is no longer employed in the position she has currently if she continues down this path. So, Ms. Dawn Comstock, we are at war now. I am at war with you. You have overstepped your bounds. You've gone down a path you shouldn't have, and I'm loaded for bear, Craig. I'm going after it. This is nonsense. I'm done. I'm tired of it. It's a bunch of garbage, and it's high time we all stood up and said so.
Well, and like you said earlier, whoever, someone with the health department said it was someone that you know that their natural antibodies would only last, what, 6 months? Did you say?
90 days is what Elbert County is telling people. 90 days.
Well, that they have no, there's nowhere they can find anywhere to prove that.
I know.
They do not know. At this point, they do not know.
I know that. You're correct. But that's what they're telling people.
Well, again, that's just, it's an agenda to get everybody vaccinated. And,
you're right. You're correct,
and,
Craig.
Yeah.
All right. I got to run to break. Good stuff, Craig.
Okay.
Thank you for all that update. I do appreciate it very much. We'll come right back. We're going to talk about, speaking of public retirement fund individuals, we're going to talk about those funds in specific and what they've done here lately, which there's some good news on that end of things. So we'll come back and talk to Greg Minnis in just 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is up next, folks, and they want to take care of everything you've got going on around the house, all of your electrical, heating, air, all of those needs. And they're a company that's looking for help. They'll take any applications as well. And on top of that, they will help you with anything you've got going on around the house. And really, their specialty is the North Denver end of things. So if you're in that area especially, please give them a call. They're looking for any help in that particular area. And a family-owned and operated business, as I talk about all the time, and they are big on communication. So call them today, 720-526-0231, or find them at klzradio.com.
Absolute Electrical Heating and Air listens to their customers. After every AC installation, the customer service team at Absolute calls the homeowners to thank them for their patronage. During the phone call, they also ask about the customer's experience with Absolute. The leadership team at Absolute takes customer feedback seriously, implementing company-wide changes based on the responses they receive. Just in the past couple of months, Absolute has hired their first team of boiler techs based on customer demand, so they may serve homeowners with non-traditional heating systems this winter. Normally, HVAC companies have a hard time finding boiler techs because boilers require a very specific skill set. Fortunately for Absolute, techs want to work for a company that listens. Thanks to their 800 Google reviews, averaging 4.9 stars out of 5, Absolute attracts some of the most experienced talent in the industry. Call the team that listens. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Before you sell a house, you clean up the front to maximize the sale price with curb appeal. Before you sell a business, you get organized so buyers can see their potential earnings clearly. Buyers want to purchase an investment, not a job. To make your company more attractive to a buyer, your business needs to run smoothly without you. Hire John Rush as your personal business coach before you sell to maximize your profits. Email John at rushtoreason.com for one free session.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Greg Menis joining us now, Director of the Public Sector Retirement Systems at Pew. Greg, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I appreciate it very much. This is something we have talked about in my program many, many, many times over the past, I've been on air about 7 years now. We've talked about this a lot, and that is the state-funded pensions that in a lot of cases have really been struggling, and they have. There's no doubt about that. But what you guys found is they've made some good ground this last year.
That's right. There actually is some good news on public pensions. In fact, Pew's latest 50-state report shows that state pensions are in their best condition since 2008, and that's thanks to a decade of hard work and reform implemented by state policymakers, as well as the recent surge in the stock market, which has boosted the value of assets that states invest to pay for these benefits. And so as a result, state pension debt, and that's the difference between promised benefits and the money set aside to pay for them,
right,
has declined from a peak of $1.3 trillion after the financial market crisis to less than $800 billion today.
That's a pretty big change. It's, in other words, they're chunking away at that pretty well, although $800 billion is still not chump change.
That's absolutely right. And I think it's important to recognize while progress has been made, states cannot dial back on the policy close the back gap so
that's
far.
That's right.
And there are headwinds looking forward in the economy.
And some of those things, too, for all of you listening, that I think states need to keep looking at, and Greg, we talk about it here plenty, is, a lot of folks, even in Colorado today, are on a defined benefit rather than a defined contribution plan. And to me, those are some of the things that need to be changed at the state pension end of things.
Well, you're absolutely right. The vast majority of the 20 million public workers currently participate in the defined benefit pensions. But what we see is that, and what the research shows, is that the design of the plan, whether it's a defined benefit or a defined contribution or a hybrid plan, which is something a lot of states have implemented, isn't necessarily what's most important. The real thing is that you have the fiscal discipline to pay for the benefits you're signing up for.
True.
And that you have some plan for uncertainty when there's a downturn in the economy, because we're not going to see the recent returns
we've had
in the stock market over the past year every year.
What do you see? You talk about the continuance of strengthening these plans in the states and the legislatures and so on. What do you see some of those things that we need to continue doing so folks listening can make sure we keep our legislatures in check?
Yeah, I think there's really a three-point checklist. It's maintaining that fiscal discipline to pay your bills. In Colorado, for example, we would estimate that the current $2 billion or so that's going into the pension systems, more than half of that, $1 billion, is really making up for underfunding in the past. The second piece, I think, is routinely doing risk analysis, pension stress testing. In that case, Colorado has actually been one of the leaders in adopting that sort of policy. And the third part, and this is really the most difficult piece, is having a plan in place in advance so that you adjust benefits and adjust how you're funding the system when you get to a downturn.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Which, by the way, I'm guessing that third one is the hardest one to get done, correct?
No question. I think, we've seen a few states that have consistently done all three of those things well, but it is that third piece that's the hardest to implement. It's almost easier to react to a crisis than to plan for one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as you and your listeners know, having a plan beats no plan.
And for everybody listening, too, that maybe don't understand this, and I'll just set the record straight, Greg, we as taxpayers on any state level are on the hook for these pensions if they have a downturn and can't pay their bills, right?
That's absolutely right. And I think in Colorado, I would describe the pension plans as making progress, but still with a lot of work to be done.
Oh, yes.
And I say that because as recently as 2017, Colorado was one of five states that we had on our watch list at risk of fiscal distress, and
right,
that ultimately means more money from taxpayers.
That's right.
And that's based on a financial analysis we applied the same way to every state. To the state's credit, action was taken around that same time in terms of a thorough risk analysis and implementing additional reforms. It's really important now that I think the state stick to the plan and continue to look at ways to improve the strength and cost of the system.
In other words, just because we've made progress doesn't mean we can let up on the gas.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. I think this is one of those problems that has been decades in the making, and so I think it needs decades of persistent attention to continue to do the right thing, both for retirement security for public workers and also taxpayers.
Makes total sense. When it comes to you guys, you know, compiling all of this data, how long and you know, this is a pretty arduous task. How do you guys do this?
Well, we've been examining state pensions for over a decade, and the annual 50-state report we put out every year looks back over 20 years. And so we compile data on over 230 plans, public pension plans that are sponsored by states, and that's really every plan across every state. But I think over time what happens is you develop, you know, insights and understanding of what these issues are, and that's why we go back to pointing out the handful of states that were really on a watch list before, and then more importantly, looking at the states that have been doing a really good job and trying to encourage other states to adopt those practices.
Are there states out there or funds out there that actually are the opposite, where they're overfunded and they're in really, really great shape, or is every one of them have some sort of deficit?
There's only about a half dozen states that are close to or around 100% funded.
Okay.
And I think three of the states that we would consistently call out are Wisconsin, Tennessee, and South Dakota, who have done the three things I mentioned before. They pay their bills every year. They routinely assess risk, so they understand what could be coming down the pike. And then they also have these policies in place that adjust benefits and how you fund the system. And those are examples where they have maintained 100% funded status. And they also end up having the lowest cost over the long term, not surprisingly.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And what's really sad is that's 3 out of 50.
Well, that's right, but we're making progress.
And that is the good news. That's why we want to have you on. There is some good news, because typically we're talking about the opposite. Here in Colorado, for the longest time, literally, we talked about the other. You know the problems we had here. It's why we were on your watch list. We knew that even as citizens, or at least I did, you know, where we were at and what was going on. We talked about it a lot back then. So, frankly, I'm glad that it's made some progress, and it's not one of those things I have to put at the top of my topic list.
I think that's right. There has been progress, and one of the things we found is that in the past year is the first time this century that state pension plans in total are on the path to reduce this pension debt under normal market conditions. So that's literally never happened before in our measurement. And again, that's a signal of the fiscal discipline and reforms in the past decade. But 35 states individually passed that test, and Colorado is still one of the 15 that really needs to get over the hump. It's kind of like if you have a credit card bill and you're paying more than the minimum payment, but not enough to pay down the principal. And so really that's the direction that Colorado needs to go in, and the reason why this needs consistent attention.
Makes total sense. All right, how do folks find out more info from you guys, Greg?
You can go to the Pew Charitable Trust website. It's the Public Sector Retirement Systems Project, and we're always happy to answer questions.
Awesome. Greg, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks so much for your time, John.
You're very welcome, and that is good news for us in Colorado, by the way. So Franktown Firearms is next, folks. They joined me that whole first hour. We talked about how to prep, be ready for the future no matter what comes our way, and it's not just about guns. There's a lot of other things that are involved, but being self-armed and being able to protect yourself is a big deal. Go to Franktown Firearms and let them help you with that if you're not already. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
The team at Franktown Firearms wants to help beginners take responsibility for their own safety. You can be a complete novice to the shooting sports and still benefit from a tactical training course. It's all about the aha moment when you start to picture how you'd respond in a real-life scenario. Walking down the range toward a moving target instead of remaining stationary gives you a much better sense of how accurate you'd be in a home invasion situation. Suddenly, you understand why you'd rather use a shotgun than a pistol for at-home security. Because it's a whole lot easier to hit a moving target with a shotgun. Franktown Firearms keeps their training courses affordable and fun, so everyone can develop confidence through practice with a pistol, rifle, or shotgun. You don't need a membership to sign up for classes, so register now. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for exclusive KLZ discounts. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And we've got a special guest joining us here at the top of the hour that I think you guys are all going to enjoy. His name is Jimmy Lee Tillman II. He is founder and president of the Martin Luther King Republicans. He's a Heritage Foundation Academy Fellow, and he produces the Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. And what he's going to talk about is he's got a handbook that he put together on great American patriots and a guide to the national parks and landmarks, statues, museums, and historic places dedicated to them. Basically, what he's going to talk about is he has a positive answer to this whole critical race theory nonsense we have going on in our school systems. By the way, that is our topic of the National Crawford Roundtable that you'll hear tonight, is this whole CRT nonsense. And Jimmy Lee has, again, an answer to that and will, in a lot of ways, I think, give you all ammunition when it comes to fighting CRT. He will have some great little tidbits on that and, you know, essentially what happened in our history. And it's not all bad, despite what a lot of folks out there might want you to believe, especially those that are in charge of our school system and teaching our kids. You know, go back to what I say all the time. I don't know why you want your kid there in the first place. I really don't. It's partially why I am on now the bandwagon to make sure that Faith and the Classical Academy, and we're still waiting to hear kind of what's going on at Beth Eden. I was told that part of what's going on with Beth Eden is they're a very, very small school, and they are just really afraid of the powers that be, you know, coming along and shutting them down, which I think that's a valid fear. So I'll give you guys more info on that as we find out more. But Jimmy's going to talk to us here at the top of the hour. Again, give you guys some ammunition on, historically speaking, what's gone on in that world and how you guys can, you know, have a really honest conversation with those that you know when it comes to CRT. So we'll be back and talk to Jimmy in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.